kind of continuation of what my parents began. My parents were Chinese immigrants. My mother was born in a small village, never went to school, never learned how to read and write. She was sold as a slave when she was a child. She ran away from the big house and she became a rebel.
This was in a little village in China.
Uh-huh. My father arrived here with 50 cents in his pocket. He worked on the railroads. He started small restaurants. I was born on top of a restaurant. But he was a supporter of Sun Yat-sen, the leader of the first Chinese revolution.
This is 20 years ago.
Revolution is not made to prove anything. People make revolutions when they've reached the stage where they cannot continue to go along the same old way. And then they create something new. And being revolutionary actually is the beginning of something new, which can't be blueprinted in advance.
This time, you're kind of like, because of this technology, you're looking maybe, you know, not past the end of your own nose. Right.
So, you know, you're talking to the future right now, so how would you describe to the future that sense of having a paper map with you? You know, because they might need to know. They might need to know what that feels like. How would you describe that?
I guess it was a kind of, instead of having a security in which you have an algorithm that can predict time as well as place, all you had was place, right? And it was a sort of idea that it would be fixed and you would know certain patterns. So you would have an idea of maybe like, it might rain, I would be prepared. I have to sort of like prepare for many different contingencies at once. And all I have is the place, which I have in my head. And over time, like I would keep it in my head. I would have like a solid memory. Whereas now in my like, that's what I remember from the distant past. Now I'm operating in both like the imperfect predicted future, right? Like I got soaked wet. There was no thunderstorm predicted when I left my house. And yet, you know, I want it to be perfect where I can like have minute by minute predictions.
So it sounds like you're saying that in a world of algorithmic futures, we're both underprepared and taken by surprise, and also that we don't build memories?
Yeah, there's an interesting thing of where, like, there's almost a way in which we're more surprised now by, like stupid little weather events than we might have been in the past. Or I feel that way. I don't know what it's like now. Like, is it that everything is more catastrophic? Is it that, like, right?
But it sounds like, you know, in your experience, that's not really true. Like, we have that expectation, even though our experience tells us that actually those algorithms aren't that good at it.
No, it's true that, like, so many times they fail, and yet you keep... The failures, I mean, this is the same with capitalism, right? The failures are somehow scrubbed away. And it's more important for us to attach ourselves to the, like, possible certainty.
So why do you think we have this irrational faith in new technologies?
Storage?
I don't know. I think it's like you want...
It's readily apparent to a lot of people who use the computer.
Maybe.
In most cases, this materiality consists of voltages recorded, inscribed on magnetic tape.
You don't really want it to be...
If impermanence is another way to say susceptibility to fire, which is a general way that I think about things being destroyed. It seems essential to start off by recognizing that, yes, the hardware...
That's really funny. So, like, both we want to believe that the app is going to tell us the future because it feels like we might have more control over things, but also we know that, in fact, it's going to fail us, and that then it gives us something to blame. So it goes like a scapegoat and like a mechanism of control.
Right. I mean, if you think about like venturing out, let's say you don't have cell phone service in another country, and you're going out, and you actually have to like kind of take responsibility for your own like body and its, you know, its temporary housing and clothing. But I feel like in this way, I can feel a sense of like even false certainty, and I.
An easy way to conceptualize this is to think about how certain updates of applications, word processors, or video editing programs.
It allows us to ill prepare. So that's what we have, folks. Technology, as we sort of place our faith in it, or sort of think of it in an inevitable sort of framework. So last question for you, Wing Wing, is where are we going? So given all of that, you know, and we're planting seeds for the future here, so what would you say to the future? Like, where are we going, and what are you doing to plant that seed?
Well, I'm curious about what happens. I think there, now I don't remember the details, but there's something about, again, weather, how boring, but there's something about switching the systems of prediction. I feel like the sand
read into the tracks and sectors. The formatting is a necessary beginning, the inevitable, not necessary. Arise when there's no knowledge, no ability to read the symbolic lines. Coming along the chain.
Right, we made it. Okay. Thank you to the Tampa Reverberator. Copyright RV Enriquez. RV Enriquez, an experience you won't forget. All right, so we're ready to broadcast into the future. So just a reminder that this radio is a time machine on 87.9 FM, broadcasting from the lobby, and we are lucky to have Vanessa Dow here with us tonight, and she's going to share with us a song for the future. Here we go.
I'm like a cat in the dark. I walk on quiet feet when I think of you. I stop and I stop. It's like I got a muffler for heart. I'm stuck in the mud. It's love. There is no other way. Make no mistake, I'd do it again. And all I can say is live for today and say amen. Amen. I do not subscribe to this or that position. I make that admission. I have
in this protest, I have taken down my identity as an artist and become a fighter who stay in front. The most memorable moment is when the tear gas was everywhere. I decided to stay and capture the scene with my camera. At that time, one teenager who is about 16 years old rushed to me and asked me to take more pictures to show the whole world what was happening at that moment in time. I felt heartbroken at the moment and started questioning why the youth needed to come out and fight painfully. That's why I have chosen to support them, to do as much as I can to support them. I played drum in the first protest march. We had practiced but still couldn't follow the rhythm. After that, we had invited a professional to instruct us. We collected glass bottles, cartons, and other materials to create music instruments. I believe this could help to increase the morale of the protesters and the sound of the drum.
I'm going to speak to someone I care dearly about.
And feel better.
And is that person in the future?
That person is everywhere, and that person is mainly between the future and the past, and the present and the future, and the future and the past present.
And where did you meet this person?
I have not yet met this person.
And are you speaking to the future? Did you choose to speak to the future because you wanted to try to find them?
I believe that in the future I will be able to travel to the past to find the person who might be there in the future.
I'm talking about, like, yeah, predicting the future, right? Like, I'm like, oh, by now we should be able to, at least weather-wise, like, give me an accurate, like, hour by hour. This web app, like, purports to give you an hour by hour weather report. And of course it changes too and it updates, but it's a kind of thing that I realized, you know, like, once upon a time, maybe in the past, you would make a plan for a trip and you would print out your directions and you would know where you were going. And now I find myself, I don't even know the subway stop that I'm getting off at. Like, I kind of could remember if you, like, made me think about it, I would remember where Annabelle and Dave's was. Like, I would remember. But this time, you're kind of like, because of this technology, you're looking maybe, you know, not past the end of your own nose, right?
So, you know, you're talking to the future right now, so how would you describe to the future that sense of having a paper map with you? You know, because they might need to know. They might need to know what that feels like. How would you describe that?
I guess it was a kind of, instead of having a security in which you have an algorithm that can predict time as well as place, all you had was place, right? And it was a sort of idea that it would be fixed and you would know certain patterns. So you would have an idea of maybe, like, it might rain, I would be prepared. I have to sort of, like, prepare for many different contingencies at once. And all I have is the place, which I have in my head. And over time, like, I would keep it in my head. I would have, like, a solid memory. Whereas now, in my, like, that's what I remember from the, like, the distant past. Now I'm operating in both, like, the imperfect predicted future, right? Like, I got soaked wet. There was no.
Can we just make it kind of the race and sex panel? It was actually race, caste, and culture. So I added sex to that and spiced up the room. They made everything nice and lively.
Sounds like you're saying.
Of those, which do you think is the most, to use the word, marginalized in the field?
Oh, my. Oddly enough, I don't think anybody talked about caste, or the usual word for it, class. I don't think it's so much marginalized as just ignored. People are not afraid to tackle it, it just doesn't occur to them. So I think oftentimes, it just sort of gets left out.
Do you think that's a product of American culture, where class is so downplayed as an issue?
Downplayed as an issue, but not really. I mean, after all, if you go to the right schools and all that, make the right contacts, of course you're going to have a heck of a lot better chance to, you know, have a better life in this country. So, of course, class matters. I suspect so, though. I suspect it's more of an American thing. It's not a bad thing, really, that we tend to pretend, at least, that class isn't an issue, because I suppose the more we pretend it isn't an issue, the less perhaps that it will be. I'm not sure that's true, but it's the hopeful note that I pull from the whole business.
I'm interested in the idea of telling stories as creating self-fulfilling prophecy. Do you think that's part of what your role is?
Or perhaps for not so much self-fulfilling prophecy as I can't think of the word. The sorts of things that therapists do when they're trying to rid you of a phobia, and they do it by dumping whatever you're afraid of onto you, or you onto it.
Aversion therapy?
Desensitization.
Ah. Do you deliberately in your work strive for that, to desensitize people on some of these issues?
No. It's not a matter of deliberately doing it. It's just a matter of behaving as though the world were a little bit more as you wish it were in some way. So my characters, who are often black and female, behave as though they have no limitations.
I'm going to do this in the sequence. It's in, okay.
3:14 p.m. 5:22 p.m. 12:23 p.m. 3:01 p.m. 3:09 p.m. 10:26 a.m. 11:37 a.m. 11:48 a.m. 11:56 a.m. Very, very near future, probably the end of the day, today, wherever it is a day, and hopefully the message would be delivered by the end of the day. Within the next 60 seconds, I'm going to read a list of names of people who have to be released immediately. I'm just going to read their names. Mohammad Nazari, Sepide Qolian, Atena Daemi, منیر عربشاهی، مژگان کشاورز، سبا کرد افشاری، یاسمن آریانی، عرس امیری، نازنین زاغری، اسماعیل بخشی، فرهاد میسمی، گلرخ ابراهیمی ایرایی، آرش صادقی، ستود فاضلی، ارشام امیری، مریم اکبری، سهیل عربی، مرزی امیری، فرنگیس مظلوم، هوشنگ کوشکی، مرتضا مرادپور، راحل احمدی، محمد مهدوی پر، شهرزاد نظیفی، زرتشت احمدی راقب، شیدا عابدی، اسماعیل عبدی، محمد نجفی، ویدا موحد، افسانه رضایی، مجید عزیزی، رضا شهابی، محسن آرمند، مریم اکبری منفرد، آزیتا رفیزاده، نازیلا نوری، نگین قدمیان، کیانوش عباس‌زاده، انسی عبدالحسینی، آمن ظاهری ساری، رضا محمد حسینی، بهروز زارع، امیر حسین محمدی فرد، ساناز اللهیاری، مختار رضایی، بهمن حیدری، ریحان حاج ابراهیم دباغ، روحالا مردانی، سعید شیرزاد، پیام شکیبا، نسرین ستوده، ابراهیم فیروزی، صدیق صفابخت، مجید اسدی، سعید صفایی، آویشا جلال الدین، محمد رسولوف، نیلوفر بیانی، لیلا حسینزاده، هومن جوکار، سپید کاشانی، سام رجبی، طاهر قدیریان، امیر حسین خالقی، نرگس محمدی، حسین کمانگر، ارژنگ داوودی، بهزاد همایونی، خانواده نراقی.
Take a minute and just think about a different way that things could go. So take that story of the future, which is like the dystopia projected into the future, right? That's driven by the fears of today. And now let go of that and think about telling the future about the seeds you planted to change that dystopia that was rushing towards us, or that we were rushing towards, what seeds did you plant?